for the judgment is coming. What a new day will be, as forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, care for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be my pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, care for me. The sounding of the trumpet at the of the day, hallelujah, worldly pleasure, worldly pleasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving brother, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, care for me. Oh, lost sinner will be crying, oh, the home they never see. The ransom will be singing, rock of ages, care for me. Oh, my loving brother, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, careful. Oh, my loving brother, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, clear for me.
Amen.
In these, the closing day of God.
Hallelujah. Home time.
Oh, what joy, the glorious hope of hope.
Oh, I'm filled with joy, I'm filled with joy. We're going home
soon. Oh, wondrous truths are,
oh, fulfillment of his word.
He shall come, King of kings and Lord of.
Come, Lord Jesus, hallelujah.
Oh, he's come. Very soon, with joy, we welcome his return. It may be known, it may, oh, it may be. Oh, I know, he's coming soon.
With our eyes
open, tell on the starlit sky. God's faithful witnesses be.
Well, we are still declaring, brother and sister, that they come
of our Savior.
Soon and very soon he's coming, he's come.
Soon he's coming. Oh, with joy we welcome his return. It may be morning, it may be. Oh, I know he's coming soon.
us like him come. Let's numbers Osha, we shall see them with our eyes. When through the portals of the earth, or the portals of the sky, he shall come to prepare our parents. He's coming soon, and very soon he's come. Soon he's coming. Oh, we joy, we welcome his returning. It may be, oh, it may be night or noon, when
Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. But before we sing that song, when I see the blood, amen, he'll pass. Amen. Just have the blood this morning. Amen. Christ our Redeemer, died for the dead, holy, holy Jude, sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When he sees the blood, when I see the blood,
in that fountain, sin, burnt for sin, and I pass, will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I this God, then who will be there? Each one receiving justly his due, hide in the sea.
loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter near the blood and I. Oh, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass, will pass.
Let's all enter into a time of prayer this morning. Let's all pray for the service. Pray for yourself. Let's bring ourselves before the Lord. Father, we thank you that you gave us
Hallelujah,
chance,
Jesus.
Grace,
Father,
mercy,
we are grateful
to gather under the blood once again upon this time. We wanted to come, Father, to hide ourselves under the token of your grace, the token of your
mercy.
To thank you, Father, Lord, for another opportunity, Father, the side of eternity to serve and to worship you, to bypass. Lord, I want to humble myself before thee, O Lord, and be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 Saints. God bless everybody this morning. It's good to be in his house. May the Lord bless each person who's come. We want to really say a special welcome to Brother Greg's mother today. God bless her. Amen. Amen. Brother Greg and Sister Olga, they so much love their mother. They always speak about their mother. So it's so nice to meet her. God bless her while she's in our midst. I'm sure everybody knows that Sister Olga had the little boy, Aaron, this week. I got if you saw the little message on the forum this morning, very funny. Brother Alex, he said, one thing I learned on the sixth night of being a father, small baby uses lots of space in the bed. That's what he learned this morning. So he's learning fatherhood. Let's remember Sister Lydia as well. She's not well. She's in bed today. We want to pray for her. And we'll have a dedication at the end of Brother Tony's granddaughter. My. Sounds strange to say granddaughter, yeah? But it just shows how far we've gone. Let's pray for Sister Lydia. Father, we bring our sister up unto thee upon this day. Ask of you to touch her. And Father, upon this day, we think in Vilnius of Brother Valera, Lord. Such a precious brother. Father, how the enemy has smitten him, Lord. Oh, Father, he needs your grace. Won't you just move on his behalf upon this day? Touch him, Lord, is our desire. Raise him up, Father. You know his faithful service. You know how he's consecrated himself to you all through these years. And you've used him, Father, and he's been used to minister your people in worship, Lord. And now, Father, he's in a need, oh, Jesus. We're asking of you, Lord, to really draw nigh. Have mercy upon our brother upon this day. Touch our sister, touch our brother. And Father, as you open up your word, we're asking for your special blessing upon your word. Father, we need you upon this day. Father, we're waiting upon thee. Be glorified, we pray. Them that haven't managed to make it, we pray for them. Father, watch over them, Lord. Be with them, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Lubanza. Good to see you, brother. May the Lord bless you as well. Let's open up Revelation chapter 10. Let's read from verse 8 up to 11. We had an officers' meeting on this last Wednesday. And we were speaking about trying to become more effective. That was our thought, was effective ministry. And we had tried to have a look at various ways where, you know, once in a while it's good to review what you do and why you do it. Because sometimes you can do things as a tradition. Or sometimes you can end up spending a lot of time on things that are maybe not so beneficial at the expense of the things that are beneficial. You know, sometimes your priorities can shift. The enemy has got a great game of getting us sidetracked. He wants to get us busy in all these other things, and especially fusses and stews and those kind of things. But I think it's a very good thing once in a while, like we did on Wednesday with the saints. I really thank the saints that were there to have a time of consecration, of prayer, and then to bring things back into focus once again. So I just wanted maybe just to take that kind of a thought today as well and speak of some of the things maybe which we did cover. But you want to speak today about the interlude of grace. I just want to bring it once again down to show where are we and what is expected of us. Because I'm sure in the army, in the midst of battle, you'll always find that you need to be reminded of battle orders. In the confusion of battle, it's quite easy to lose your focus. It's quite easy to lose your way. You know, I think it's once in a while good to just step back, get things back in line once again, to remember who we are, like the song says. We know who we are and what we are raised up for. So it's good maybe just to go back. That's my thought. So let's look at verse 8, Revelation 10, verse 8 to 11. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let's also read Revelation 7, the first few verses of Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, which is the end time scriptures, we know them well. And after these things, that's the sixth seal. He's just getting into near the tribulation period. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. That's the north, the south, east, and the west. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. May the Lord bless this word. You may be seated, saints. So our thought today is, we're going to use just a few slides at the beginning, because certain things you've got to put, picture that speaks 1,000 words, like they say. But we're speaking about the interlude of grace. Revelation 7, where we've just read, it speaks of our age that we're living in. And it speaks of an interlude of grace. If you have a look, if you've got your Bible still open in Revelation chapter 7, we see these four angels in verse 1 holding the four winds of the earth. So we know that these winds, it's strife, it's war. Yeah? And it's to the four corners of the earth. It's to the north, south, east, and west. And the thing which I really love about the scripture is that God looks at everything in relation to his people. So he's looking from Palestine, north, south, east, and west. And he's seeing that there's this potential, there's this winds, there's this strife. You know, there's a potential for things just to really get out of control, to come to the end, the destruction of all things. But God has one thing upon his heart at that time, and that's his people. He has his people upon his heart, and he has to give an instruction now to these angels to say, hold back the winds. Don't pour forth these things now, because we have to seal the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, if you have a look in verse 3, he says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our gods in their foreheads. So, that's already happened. That's already history. But verse 4 hasn't yet happened. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So, in the future, in the days to come, we know that that's going to take place when he visits Israel, when Christ reveals himself through the two witnesses to Israel. So, between verse 3 and verse 4, there's a gap here. There's a bridge. If you can go to the first slide, please, there, sister, if you wouldn't mind. I don't think I have that clicker here. But this is what it's speaking about. So, we have Revelation chapter 7. The first three verses. We know that even the time in history, just that epic day, the 11th of November 1918 at 11 in the morning, when they called a halt, they signed the armistice for the First World War. And the prophet always points back to that and says that was 1918. Whenever he takes Revelation chapter 7, we know that. So right at that time in chapter 7 verse 3, it's almost 100 years ago. We're now 2016, that was 1918. So we've almost had 100 years. Something could have taken place. Something could have continued to unfold and continued to culminate. And maybe then they would have developed the nuclear weapons quicker and whatever. And man would have come to the burning of Sodom like we know is going to be happening in the end. But something happened there. And then we find verse 4 up to verse 8, the sealing of the 144,000, which is the two witnesses. That's still to come in the future. So if you go to the next one, sister. So what do we have here? We have a breach. We have a breach. There's a need. There's a cry. Just like in Revelation chapter 5, who is worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof? You know, it was like an urgency in this. Is that it's an urgent cry. Now there's a need. You know, God's people have a need and there's nothing to meet the need. You know, so God looks down and he looks at the religion. He just sees Azusa Street's just taken place. And he looks at it and says, but that hasn't filled the breach. That hasn't yet met what needs to be met. Because if you continue reading chapter 7, once you get after the 144,000, you get to verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. So we see 144,000 Jews coming out. We see a great multitude of Gentiles of all nations, tribes and tongues coming out this side of this breach. But what is it that can bring about this result? What is it when God is looking down at the needs of his people? He's looking at spiritual Israel, his bride, and he says, she's not ready. And he's looking at natural Israel. He's looking at the 144,000. At this stage, they weren't even gathered back to Israel yet. They were still scattered among the nations. So something's going to have to take place. Now the wonderful principle of the scripture is that whenever there's a breach, the Son of Man steps into the breach. If you put the next one, sister, it's always the Son of Man who steps into the breach. Every single time. In Revelation chapter 5, when there's the cry, it's the bloody Lamb. It's the Lion, and he turns to look, and there's a bloody Lamb. He steps into the breach, and he takes the book out of the hands of him that's seated upon the throne. And it's going to be exactly the same here. That's why there's going to come an interlude of grace. You know, just when judgment is among the nations, when judgment is setting in, when man is getting visited upon himself according to his own devices, he's made the instruments of his own destruction. He's created such an unbelief that devils move in. There's such an atmosphere that moves in because man rejects God and he creates this vacuum. He pushes God out and the devil comes in. And we find troubles and strife and all of these things between the nations. So we find there's a breach, and the Son of Man always steps into this breach. Now don't forget what I said. We're trying to bring this down to who we are and what we're raised up for, so that we'll remember what our focus should be. Friends, this message, like I said, never came to us so that we can argue with each other about who has the best brand of the message. Who has the best interpretation of certain messages. That's what the devil wants us to do. That's not our commission. We were told, John was told, eat the book. And then thou must prophesy again to many nations and tongues and peoples and so forth. That was the bride's commission. And friends, anything else apart from that, once we get involved in anything else, that isn't our primary focus, we've been sidetracked. We've got off course, and we know how easy it is to get off course. We know how easy it is to get caught up in this, that, and the other, but he wants us to keep our focus. The Son of Man himself. If you go to the next one, just to show how these scriptures fit together. Listen to what the prophet says in the mark of the beast. I know we've spoken of this many times before. He says there were three woes that followed in the book of Revelation. Chapter 8, 9, and 11. There's three woes. The first one happened in World War I. The first woe. The second one happened in World War II. That was the second woe. You see where we're going in now. All right, we're at the end of the road. So if you go to the next one, sister, so we have the two woes. We have the First World War and the Second World War, which is the first and the second woe. And if you go, those who know their Bibles, that's under the trumpets. Because the fifth trumpet has the first woe, and the sixth trumpet has the second woe. And then it says, behold, the third woe cometh quickly in Revelation chapter 11, which is beyond our age, which is the two witnesses to Israel coming into Armageddon. So we've already had two woes have struck the nations. The First World War and its mustard gas and the birth pains, the way the prophet spoke and so forth. And then we had a second war and it brought in the atomic age. It brought things right to the brink. And then this interlude of grace. And is it not so powerful that God put you and I there? Amen. I find that so powerful. Amen. You could have been back in the missionary age with Wesley. You could have been back in the Reformation with Luther. You could have been back there with Polycarp and then when they shed their blood in the arenas and died for their faith. But God put us here in this time, in this season, for a purpose. And we'll be the people most miserable if we miss that purpose. If we miss that purpose for any reason, we can get caught up in so many other things. We can become the big people of this earth. We can become people of great stature, great reputation. But if we've missed this purpose and calling and this commission that's been given to us, we've missed it all. Amen. Especially with the privilege we've been given. We've been given a privilege among all the peoples of the earth. Because so many people are ignorant of this grace. Are ignorant of this visitation that God has given to us. So of all the people's friends in this earth, we're the most blessed and the most responsible. And that's why it's good for us to go back and examine where we are, first of all. Where are we in time? And why did God put us in this junction of time? And what is our purpose? What is our ministry? What is our commission? And it's in this interlude here. And we can see what's going to come in the end. We know, behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And there's going to be the destruction of the nations. There's going to be the burning of Sodom. All the shadows and the types fulfilled in that. That this time is going to come and the heavens are going to burn like an oven. He says, and the proud and all them, you'll tread on the ashes of the wicked. It's a serious thing that is coming upon the earth. But that's between the second and the third woe. That's where we find ourselves. Right in that position. So we've already seen Revelation chapter 7. Chapter 7, we find our little interlude of grace there between verse 3 and verse 4. When the angels hold the winds back. And then the 144,000 come in. Then there's a great harvest from the Gentiles. Then we get to Revelation chapter 8 and 9, which is the trumpets. So from chapter 7 to chapter 8 to chapter 9. We're covering the bases here. We've got our first woe and our second woe. We've got the trumpets, political persecution, strife. 200 million devils of persecution released upon natural Israel. The rising of Stalin, rising of Hitler to drive the people back, Israel, back to their homeland. Because until here, they're not even in their homeland. Amen. Yet right from that early stage, that first woe, those angels being told, hold it back. Do something in the politics and the affairs of this life. Hold the things back because the servants are not yet ready for what's to come upon the earth. And then we find Armageddon is the third woe. It's in Revelation chapter 11. If you go to the next one, sister, just to show. And that's the two witnesses coming to Israel under their seventh trumpet. So that's Revelation chapter 11. So we have chapter 7, we see it. We see chapter 8 and chapter 9. It's our day. We get ourselves to chapter 11. And then we find all is in the breach. Always in Revelation chapter 10. If you go to the last one, I think it is. Let's go to the next one. That's the 7. Go once more, please. There should be one more. We have Revelation chapter 10, which is the seventh seal. Amen. Amen. You see, this is an interlude of grace. Amen. This is now His coming. This is now the unfolding of His purpose. But it's in such an urgent time. It's exactly the same as in Genesis chapter 18. When Sodom's about to be burnt. It's like it's an interlude of grace. Down He comes and He's investigating judgment. He comes down to Abraham, the Son of Man Himself. And He comes and He communes with Abraham. Reveals His heart to Abraham. Shows what's to come. And Abraham realizing the lateness of the hour and realizing that there's Lot and his family still down there. Abraham wants to make full use of this interlude of grace. There's something which is just holding it back. And Abraham, we know the story. And then there's the burning of Sodom, the next chapter, chapter 19. So this is the Son of Man coming down in this interlude of grace, right in this season of time. And that's why Revelation 10 has to fit where it does. It's perfect, the scripture. That's where I find people when they reject the message. I wonder, how do they understand what's going on? How do they put the things together? Because it's only the message that places the things so that you can recognize your day in its message. And you can never serve God acceptably until you first recognize your day and your message, and then you find your place under that message. That's the only way to serve God in any generation. That's the only way to acceptably serve God, is by revelation, is by faith. It's when you recognize who He is, you recognize where you are in time, you recognize your move, and you find your place in that move. Amen. It's got to be like that. And that's exactly where we are with Revelation 10. I'm sure Saints remember these slides from a couple of years back. But that's where we are. Amen. So, we're living right in this interlude. Right in this gap here. This is right at the end of the Gentile age. Right in the end. Now, Revelation chapter 10 now. So we find ourselves in there. What is Revelation chapter 10? We've spoken many times, even recently, about it. Here comes Christ, the great covenant angel, verse 1. Clothed with a cloud. And people still speak against the cloud. It's amazing to me. He's clothed with a cloud, and he comes and he's got the little book open in his hand. He's got the unsealed book. He's got this mystery purpose unsealed. And he comes down, and in verse 7, well, let's just read it a little bit before that in Revelation chapter 10. Let's read it for the new people, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. He's the covenant angel. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. That's Revelation chapter 1, Christ in his sevenfold glory. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open. The same book that was sealed in chapter 5. When the great cry went out, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? We find now yes, the book is unsealed. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now obviously we have the big controversy about the seven thunders in the message. But me, I just keep it simple the way the prophet said it in the seven church ages. Amen. He says the seven thunders are those mysteries, the mysteries of the seven seals. That's what he says. So to us, that's enough for us. We can have lots of conjecture. You can have all your opinions, but I don't want opinions of people. If the prophet says the seven thunders are the revelation contained in those seven seals, that's good enough for me. So we believe that unsealed book, when the thunders go forth, he's revealing what was under those seals. The seven thunders. They uttered their voice, and I was about to write. It wasn't John's commission to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things. You see, so the thunders have got to have something to do with the seals. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. Amen. And swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Amen. That's why it's the end time message. Exactly from Sirs, it's the time there should be no more delay. There should be time no more. It's not saying exactly at that time it was the end of time, but the season had come. It was now the end time. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. So we know that's the prophet's ministry. So chapter 10, we find Christ the covenant angel coming down. We find the prophet fulfilling his ministry. And then the prophet goes his way. And then it comes to our commission, verse 8. Because John always represents the bride. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel. Verse 9, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said, who's that? Christ himself. He said unto me, so Christ is saying to his bride, he's saying to John, take it and eat it up. And I shall make, it'll make your belly bitter, but it'll be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Christ again, this is the final commission. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And then we're into Revelation chapter 11, which is Moses and Elijah, which is the tribulation period. So we can see it's just a perfect picture in the scripture, and we can place ourselves exactly where we are. We find ourselves there, we see our commission, we see what we are instructed to do. That's why we always say it's going to be very, very difficult for anybody to fulfill the commission if they're not obeying the instructions to eat the book. It's good to eat all of your school books, eat all of your college books, your studies. That's fine. But that's not your commission. Your real commission, the most important commission, is eat this book. Eat this open book, this unsealed book. That's our commission. In Revelation chapter 10. And it's a real, real commission. If you have a look at it, it says, thou must prophesy again. It's not an optional thing. It's an urgent thing. If you say to somebody, you must prophesy. If Jesus came to you and said, you must go and speak to your relatives, it's urgent, like he came to Abraham. It was because there was an urgency. It wasn't something just optional that you could say, I'll do it if I want to do it. No. He's saying, thou must prophesy again. That word there, thou must, is exactly the same word and the same tense as John 3 when Jesus said, thou must be born again. You see, it's not an optional thing. You must be born again. And if the same thing, you must prophesy. That's got to be what our life is focused about. Anything else, we've been sidetracked. Anything else, we're putting a lot of energy, a lot of resources, maybe into things that are not the prime thing that should be our focus. So it's good for us to get back in focus once again. Thou must prophesy again. The word prophesy means to speak forth by divine inspiration. So you must speak forth by divine inspiration. What should you speak forth? What's in the little book? That's what you should speak forth. That's your commission. Eat the book. Then speak forth by divine inspiration. That's to prophesy. The word prophesy means foretelling future events pertaining especially to the kingdom of God. We don't have to be prophets or sons of prophets to be able to prophesy, because the lion has roared already, so we can prophesy. We can prophesy about Los Angeles. We can prophesy about the doom on the nations. We can prophesy about the World Council of Churches. We can prophesy. Divine inspiration, speaking of things to come, because of the open book and because of the anointing of the eagle. The eagle age that you're living in, thou must prophesy again. The word prophesy means also to act as a prophet, to discharge the prophetic office. So every single one of us, the prophet says, this is a prophetic class of people. It says the book of Revelation is reserved for a special class of people. It's a prophetic class of people. And we are a prophetic class. We are prophetic people. And our commission, when we are told, thou must prophesy again, we must discharge our prophetic office. That's what we're trying to do here. That's what Brother Max was trying to do there. The song leader must discharge his prophetic office. He must prophesy as well in getting the divine inspiration and what should be sung and what shouldn't be sung. And then when we get out there and speak to people, you must prophesy again. We must prophesy again. That's the commission that's been given unto us. This word prophesy is only used twice in the book of Revelation. Twice. Once in Revelation chapter 10, thou must prophesy again. And the next time is in Revelation 11, the two witnesses. They must prophesy to all the nations. So the same message, same unction, same commission we receive under the eagle anointing, when it leaves the Gentiles, it goes to the Jews, the same thing upon those two messengers, and they must prophesy again. They're prophesying under the trumpets, we're prophesying under the seals, because that's our dispensation that's been given to us. You must prophesy again. Now, like I said, nothing new today, but just trying to bring it together and remind us again of who we are, what we're raised up for. Church Age Book, page 340. The prophet says, in the dark ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. We know it. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. What a privilege, but what a responsibility to speak for God in your day. That's not a light thing, friends. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time, but they organized. And again, the pure word was lost. For organization tends towards dogma and creeds, not the simple word. So they could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley. And he was the voice with the word in his day. Friends, you are the voice with the word in your day. That's our commission. That's our what we're raised up for. That's our predestined purpose, to be the voice with the word in this day. The people who took his revelation from God, Wesley, became the living epistles, read and known of all men for their generation. But when the Methodists failed, God raised up others. And it's gone on through the years. Until in this last day, there's again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. We know that. So we're the final voice to the final age. To the Gentiles, we're the final voice to the final age. So we become that. And that closes off the entire time of the Gentiles. With us, it's finished. No one's going to write our history. No one's going to write the church ages and put us in one of the ages. It's finished with us. There's nothing beyond us for the Gentiles. We're the final voice to the final age. But now listen to what he says. He says, yes, sir. The church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. My. So the message comes. Christ comes. And the message is turned against the church in this day. Because you say that you are rich, because you say that you have need of nothing, you know not that you are blind, miserable, wretched, naked, and knoweth it not. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined in the fire. Come and get the ISL from me. I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice, let him come in. I'll open up to him. So you can see it's turned. Instead of during the church ages, the voice was in the midst of the churches. But in the last church age, the voice is out of the churches. Yes, yes, yes. Right out of the church. Yes. And God is turning now against the churches. And it becomes a message of rebuke to the age. Yes, yes, right. God is, the prophet says, God is turning on her. And he will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her. Yes, it is so. For Revelations, in verse 17, the chapter 7, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. Once more the world will hear direct from God, as at Pentecost. But of course, that word bride will be repudiated, as it was in the first age. So we can see where it's going to end up. It's coming down to a conclusion. So, this is the final warning that God is going to give before the great tribulation. Who has the final warning? It's the bride. No one else has the warning. The rest of this age, friends, they've fallen asleep. They've completely fallen asleep. Laodicean religion is so far from being the voice of God to the final age. But that's the commission that was given to John. And it's a warning. What is in the message? When he turns on her, he warns her about the beast. He warns her about the mark of the beast. What is the message? Come out of her, my people. That you be not partaker of her plagues, her sins and her plagues. That's the voice of God as it gets to the end time. Is come out of her, my people. Revelation chapter 18, the mighty angel coming down and the earth was lighted with his glory. And the voice says, Babylon is fallen, and has become a habitation of every unclean spirit. Therefore, come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sins. lest you be partaker of a place, because her sins have reached up unto heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. Amen. That's the voice of God in the last day. Now, let's bring it down just to take it from being maybe just principles. And let's just show it sometimes again, like we spoke last week, of God in simplicity. Yes. Let's bring it down into how God has done these things in the days gone by. Because Christ, the mystery of God revealed, the prophet speaking of God's hidden purpose that he's always had. The prophet says, I want to speak to the church this morning on the hidden purpose that God had in his mind before the world ever began. So this great purpose that has been unfolding, this great plan of redemption. And don't forget, God had a hidden purpose for you before the world began. It was sealed away and then it's unsealed in its time, and an anointing is released. And the voice speaks to you, and you start becoming the unfolding of this mystery purpose. And that's what every single one of us are commissioned to be. So the prophet says he had it in his mind. How that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we live in. He says, then you will understand clearly, I believe, what is being done. What he's doing. He says, God's great mystery of how. It's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery. The seventh seal, yeah? When the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. It was a mystery. He had sealed up this mystery. Nobody else knew about this mystery. This great mystery of how. Of how he will come. When he will come. It says, you see the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet. How he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing that he doesn't know. Because the enemy will get a hold of it. This is something which he kept so secret inside of himself. He sealed this up in silence. When the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. He sealed this great junction here. He sealed it in symbols. He sealed it in shadows and types. He sealed it in silence. And he says it in the next paragraph, 107. He says, but he has showed or revealed it in every type there is in the Bible. I love that, because that opens the Bible, like I always say. So this great mystery, he's shown it in every type that's in the Bible. The great mystery of how he will come, when he will come, how he'll get his bride ready, how he'll prepare his people, what will be the conditions of that time. He sealed it and then he's revealed it now. In every one of the shadows and types, he says, therefore the entire Bible is a revelation of God's mystery in Christ. So we can find it in Joseph, we can find it in Joshua, Rahab, we can find it in Ruth. We can find it in Esther. We can find it in David. We can find it in Abigail. We can find all of these things. We can find our day. Abigail realizing the lateness of the hour, that judgment is coming upon her husband who's a fool. Because he has come in the rejected king. He's coming to visit judgment upon this man who's rich and has need of nothing. Nabal, the fool, who doesn't want to minister. David's been watching over him. His men have been protecting Nabal's flocks and herds and servants. And then David, now the rejected king, he's rejected by the systems of that day. He just asked for a little bit of food at the time of the feast of the shearing of the sheep. And Nabal says, who is David? Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There's too many young men who rebel against their masters these days. And David gets the anointing of judgment upon him. And he comes down with his sword and he says, so be it. If even one of them that pisses against the wall, one young man is alive this time tomorrow. And Abigail, a type of the bride, she realizes the folly. And she casts herself in the breach before David and she makes intercession. And says, my Lord, when you come into your glory, you'll remember that you avenged yourself. And he says, blessed art thou of the Lord. And then God smites Nabal and dies, and David marries Abigail. There's the mystery there. The mystery's everywhere in the shadows and types. that opens up the Bible. That's how the prophets, which are those seals, were opened. It became a new Bible. Because everything that's stored inside of there. So when we're speaking of this interlude of grace, let's just have a look once again at the last days of Jericho. But don't forget that our emphasis here is, thou must prophesy again. Amen. Let's not put it on other people. Let's not look at the day and the requirement of the day and say, okay, you brothers can take care of that, or you take care of... No, no, no. Every single one of us is represented by John. Every one of us. John doesn't represent one man. John represents the bride. There was the seventh angel, and then there's John. There's nobody else. John must finish up the work. Thou must prophesy again. So we need to find ourselves here. What is our commission in here? Many times we look at ourselves like Rahab. Well, that's true. Well, that's absolutely the truth. But we'd like to just twist the focus a little bit, because the last days of Jericho were a perfect type of the last days of the Gentiles. That's exactly where we're living. So this is going to be the seventh seal, because it's the ending of the Gentile dispensation. There's the Joshua commission. So we find that. That's what's happening in the last days of Jericho. This is the seventh seal. We're going to find the mystery purpose of his coming inside of here. And we want to find ourselves there. We want to see, am I a matching piece to what the word is saying? Am I looking in the mirror and saying, that's me? Looking in the mirror of the word. If not, we need to quicken our pace. We need to gird up our loins. We need to quicken our pace. We need to lay aside foolishness and folly. We need to watch and pray so we can move into the channel of what we're supposed to be. That's the commission that we've received. So in the last days of Jericho, when you get to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 is the Joshua commission. Moses, my servant, is dead. Yeah, now you take the children of Israel over into the inheritance. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Remember ye the law of Moses. Meditate therein day and night. Eat the book. Meditate therein night, day and night. And then you find straight away Joshua's got this fresh anointing, this fresh commission, chapter 1. What's the first thing he uses the commission for? Chapter 2, verse 1, is Rahab. Is that not an amazing thing? He doesn't use this commission first, doesn't come down to be used for the Jews. The first thing that this great anointing comes upon Joshua for, the Joshua commission, is to minister deliverance to Rahab. Amen. Is to bring Rahab under the token. Before Israel can enter into their inheritance, which is they're on the way to their inheritance, there's some unfinished business. There's an interlude of grace at the end of this age where Rahab needs grace. She needs grace under the Joshua commission. So it's exactly the time that we're living in. It's the time of investigating judgment. Because those two spies are sent in to investigate what's happening in the city. Just as much as when the great judge himself came down. Genesis 18, the prophet says that was investigating judgment. I've come down to see. I've heard the cry of Sodom and I've come down to see. And here's the great judge. It's a time of investigating judgment. But don't forget, when he comes down investigating judgment and he looks at Sodom, he's not going to say the same things as when he looks at his bride. When he looks at his bride, he says, Shalom. Amen. But when he looks at Sodom, it's a curse. Amen. And when he comes down, the Joshua commission, it's going to come and minister mercy and judgment. Yes. It's going to come with a Shalom to Rahab. It's going to come with judgment to Jericho. It's going to seal their doom, the rejection of this Joshua commission at the end time. At this time now, when you get to Joshua chapter 2, the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites is full. In Abraham's day, it wasn't yet full. The Lord says you can't enter the land yet. You can't smite these nations because the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. But now the cup is full. And friends, we're living in a day that the cup is full. This cup is full. If it's not full, it's right on the brim. It's just going to take a little bit of a shaking and it's going to spill over. If you see what's happening in this age, you see the iniquity, you see the unbelief, you see the godlessness of people, you see the unbelief, you're forcing faith out. What comes in? Oh, friends, you reject him, Who comes in instead? Amen. Jesus says, you shall not. Remember that Jesus said that when they were saying, he says, you shall not say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah? You shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he. But the devil, knowing that, what does he do? Jesus says, you've rejected me. I came in my Father's name, but you'll receive one who comes in his own name. Satan's an opportunist, friends. When you push him out of your life and you reject the word, you don't stay empty. Something comes in to take its place. And that something that comes in doesn't have the same thoughts that he has towards you. Doesn't have the same aim, the same objective. Isn't trying to get you to the same place. But he's coming in to, yes, that's what he is, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because that's the ministry that he has. And that's what's happening in this age. So we know the cup was full. That's the time that Rahab hears about the message. Just as Israel's entering into their homeland. Just at that time. So you can see this interlude is exactly our day. That's why we could put another picture. We could go and put Ruth and Naomi here. And we see both of them. One going back to the homeland. The other one feeding the pool of Boaz himself. One going to marry Boaz. One going to receive back the inheritance of Elimelech, yeah, the land itself. So you could say it's exactly the same. That's why the prophets is this great mystery of how, of his coming, the secret mystery. It's revealed in all these shadows and types, but it was sealed in silence, but revealed in all of these shadows and types in the word. Now, Rahab, why she's a real type of the believer. And not only of us, but of those people out there that are Rahabs that still need to come in. There's Rahabs in Dublin today. That's why we're here. Why would God put us here? Once we forget that, friends, we really forget the purpose. And Satan, like I say, he always wants to get you sidetracked on other things, on fusses and stews and proving points. We don't want those kind of things. We've never wanted those things from the day our church started. We said, saints, that is not what... We don't want the politics of the message. We don't want to be of this ism or that ism. There's a commission we're supposed to fulfill. And the guns of the enemy are against us as long as we're walking in the line of that commission. So once in a while, we need to get the chief captain to speak to us once again, like he did to John, to say, John, don't forget what you're there for. Thou must prophesy again. Eat the book, and then thou must prophesy again to many nations and tongues and peoples. And that'll finish up the time of the Gentiles. But Rahab, she receives this visitation of grace right at the end of the Exodus move. It started 40 years before with Moses. It actually had started another 40 years before that when the pillar of fire came down and Moses was born and all the things that took place. So there had been a prophet. That's the amazing thing. Rahab was never ordained to meet the prophet in the flesh. She never met Moses. She never met Moses, the prophet who came with the two signs. The prophet who came with that commission. She was never ordained to meet him personally. But she was supposed to come in under the Joshua commission. And that's exactly what she did. It was right at the end. Moses had already gone off the scene. Some people had already possessed the inheritance when she came in. Ephraim and Manasseh had already possessed the inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. So it was an urgent cry, and friends, it's an urgent cry to us as well. People are already possessing the inheritance. Let's not get left behind. Amen. Let's not get sidetracked in this and that, but let's fulfill our type. Amen. Let's just eat the book. If you got caught up in other things, eat the book. Yes. Watch and pray, eat the book. And then you'll have all that you need, that unction, that anointing, that all the material that's required for you to fulfill your commission. Listen in Joshua 2 verse 9. You can put the Bible on if you don't mind there, please, sister. Joshua 2 verse 9. It's exactly the same as Jesus said about our day. It was a time when men's hearts were failing them for fear. Brother Wilmer just put that thing the other day on the thing about that Nigerian guy on the airline who was texting on a thing about arranging a prayer meeting with some of his friends. And one of the passengers next to him saw him texting about prayer. Got off the plane quickly. They were still on the tarmac. And the man got arrested, taken off the plane, this Nigerian man. Because they thought he was some kind of a fundamentalist just because he was speaking about prayer. Can you see the day that we're living in? Amen. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. Amen. And that's what Rahab said to these spies. She said unto the men, I know the Lord God has given you the land. For your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear. For looking upon those things that were coming upon that age. It's the same thing exactly. And why? Because the destruction was at hand. How was Jericho destroyed? It was first shaken. And then it was burnt with fire. That's exactly how this Gentile age is going to be finished as well. How does the sixth seal come in? There'll be a great earthquake. He's going to shake this age, the prophet says. All that can be shaken will be shaken. I'll be so interested to see how science answers that question at that time. What are they going to do? What are they going to do with all the distress among the nations when God has had enough and God shakes the nations like that? And then at the end, it's the burning of Sodom. She gets burnt with fire. And when Joshua and them went up into the city, the first thing that was, even before Joshua prophesied, and he says, don't touch the cursed thing. And then the people, they burnt everything with fire as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Rahab was called out of a city that already had judgment pronounced upon it. It had already been cursed. The judgments of God were already in the earth. It's like us, friends. This age has already been cursed. Judgment's already been passed, but there's an interlude of grace. From the passing of judgment to the execution of judgment in its fullness, there's this grace interlude that comes in. And there's a purpose always for that grace interlude. When the Son of Man comes right in the breach, when he comes to stand in the gap, there's something that he's trying to achieve. He needs to achieve on behalf of his people. She knew that she and anybody else in Jericho didn't have what it took to withstand that shaking. She knew it. She knew it, friends. She knew in all of their religion, in all of their theories, in all of their learning, in all of their knowledge, there was nothing in all of that which could withstand the shaking that was coming. And there's people out there today, just like you and I were before God visited us, that inside of themselves they know they don't have what it takes. And they feel inside of themselves. The prophet speaks of the great earthquake in India. And how all the animals discerned inside themselves and the birds flew and all the animals moved away from the walls and so forth. There's a feeling inside of people that still have a spirit of any spirit of discernment inside of them that they know they're not ready. And friends, that's not a nice feeling. That's not a nice condition. And that's why God sent you here. So that you can go to Rahab. So that you can be the link between Rahab and the mercy seat. Because she's never going to find mercy any other way. Amen. Don't just think that you came here to do your studies. That's God's secondary purpose of moving people from one place to another. But never forget your commission. Your primary aim and function. Thou must prophesy again to these nations. Thou must prophesy again. It was an urgent cry. Because she knew. It was right on the brink. There wasn't much time left before these Gentile civilization collapsed. Yes. Now, I don't say much about it these days, but friends, you go and read what the economists are saying about the economy. Go and read. Ah, friends. People who think we're going to be here forever. People who think it's never going to ever collapse. Just go and read what the most knowledgeable economists are saying. They themselves know it can't keep going like this. It's just going to need a little bit of a shaking and the walls are going to come falling down. They know that, and that was the time that she was. So how did God, in this interlude that was there, minister grace to her? In such a simple way. It wasn't Joshua himself. It was just two young men. The Bible doesn't even tell us their names. You know why the Bible doesn't tell us their names? So that you can put your name there. That's what the prophet says, so that you can go and put your name there. They were under the Joshua commission, just two young men. That's all that were, two spies. Just being faithful in their commission, just being sent, just being led by Joshua to go within those city walls. And the prophet says, what are the walled cities? He says, those are denominations. He says, those walled cities would shut the people in. At times, the denominational system, just to go within the walled cities. And they went inside of there, just walking. And don't forget, to them, it was a strange city. That wasn't their city. They weren't born there. They were just there for a purpose. There was no mistake in them being in Jericho. It was the Joshua Commission, was their part of the Joshua Commission to find themselves in that place at that time. And friends, this is a strange city to us. We never thought we'd be in Dublin. Who ever thought they'd be in Dublin? Nobody ever did. But it's a Joshua Commission. Just somehow you were strangely moved, and circumstances moved you, situations moved you, and you found yourself here in a strange city. Exactly the same as those two young men. Just walking in simple obedience to the leadership of Christ. Following the leadership of Joshua. Strangely, they'd been moved. Because, now, think of it. Put yourself there, because the prophet says, these shadows and types speak of us. They were personally commissioned by Joshua. They weren't there on their own authority. They weren't there on their own business. They had received a personal commission from Joshua. You've received a personal commission from our great Joshua. That there's a work for you to fulfill. It may just be your neighbor. It may just be somebody at your work. Maybe people out on the streets. Who knows where these Rahabs are. But friends, it's a commission from Joshua. And when he commissions you, he goes with you in the commission. He doesn't just give you the commission and leave you to go on your own devices. He'll give you all the resources that you need to fulfill your commission. And that's why he's given us the open book, the unsealed book. That's why he's given us the eagle edge, the eagle anointing. He's given us all the resources that we need to fulfill the commission. And then he gives us the commission. He speaks to us like he spoke to John and says, thou must prophesy again in all these nations. And then the end will come. We know that. Now, these young men, they might have just been simple young men. Yeah? But they didn't realize how vital and important that part was. Because the whole move had stopped. Nothing could go forward until Rahab came in. The whole move. Nothing could move until they fulfilled their part. No one else was going to fulfill their part. That was their commission. That was their purpose. Amen. That's what they had been raised up to do. Amen. Just like those angels holding back the winds. You can imagine that what was taking place in the heavenly places when judgment had already been decreed and the judgment move of God was already on the way. Here was Joshua, the destroying angel, right at the gates of the city just above. Just the other side of Jordan, 8 miles away. Crosses Gilgal. Comes to Gilgal. They were right there. Judgment was right at hand, friends. She came in just in time. Just in time. But God is never late. God is never too early and He's never too late. He's never too early and He's never too late. Now, she, the most important thing that she discerned who these young men were. And that's one wonderful thing about the children of God is they recognize one another. Never be stumbled by the exterior of anybody. She was a harlot. She was a Gentile harlot. She must have had a painted face. She must have had so much jewelry, gems. She wouldn't have dressed in a decent way. She was a harlot. But somehow, even in that condition, there was a seed in her that recognized who these young men were. There was a seed. And there was something in them that recognized something in her. That's the way that it is every time. Every time when two omnipotents meet, amen. When that seed that's in you meets that seed in the right season, and there's an anointing that comes, there's a specific, peculiar something takes place, and you know this is beyond human instrumentality. This wasn't arranged by flesh and blood. This is a divine purpose. This is a divine program. And friends, that makes life worth living. There's nothing else as sweet in this life as that kind of an experience. That when God, Joshua, leads you under the commission to Rahab, and something takes place, there's a spiritual conception that takes place in the soul of that person. And they're never the same from there. Never the same, because you are the answer to their prayers. You are the answer to the deep longing, the deep desire, to the fear that they have, the desire they have to be made right with God. You are the answer to their desire. You are the deep, which responds to the deep that's inside of them. The deep will always respond to the deep. Ah, but friends, we can get caught up in so many other things. And like Brother George was saying the other day at the meeting, we get out of that anointing. of our commission and we get involved in other things. And then you wonder why you feel so dissatisfied inside of your own soul. You wonder why he's not as real as he used to be. He says, "These signs go into all nations. These signs shall follow them that believe." That's when you see these things take place. It's when you're walking in the line of your commission. But if you're just sitting at home nicely with your hot cup of tea, yeah, you don't find very much takes place. But when you take out your sword and you yield yourself to that anointing of the Joshua commission, and he moves you strangely to go here or there, speak to this person or visit that person or phone this person or somebody you meet in the bank or on the street. It's powerful what can take place. How he reveals himself at that kind of a time. Because she discerned that the mercy seat, these young men represented the mercy seat. Because where was the mercy seat? If you wanted to find favor with God, if you wanted salvation in that late hour, there was only one place you could go, the tabernacle. Amen. And that was in the midst of the Exodus people. Amen. There was nowhere else that you could go to get under the blood. Amen. And she knew, I've got to get under the blood somehow. I've heard of this God. I've heard of the great things that he's done. But I know that I'm not yet right with this God. There was an uneasiness inside of her. And when she met these two young men from that Exodus move, she knew, this is my link to the mercy seat. This is my link to the mercy seat. And friends, you are the mercy seat in this place. We forget that you're sitting next to people. You're the mercy seat. They'll never be able to come under the blood unless they pass through you. Unless God anoints you and you minister the entrance to that person. How else will they know? How else will they know? They won't know. Paul says it in the book of Romans. How shall they hear unless someone preach? And how shall they preach unless someone be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bear glad tidings of good news, who say, thy God reigns. That's what it says. Just let's finish it up. The prophet says in Revelation chapter 4, part 2, he speaks about the mercy seat in the tabernacle that Moses was commissioned to put there. And he says, now, that was God's throne in heaven. That mercy seat. Moses patterned it on earth. God's throne, it was God's throne because his judgment seat was represented here on earth in the Holy of Holies. So in the midst of that Exodus move, there was mercy and there was judgment, friends. Because from the Shekinah glory, he was proclaiming judgment upon the nations, upon the Gentiles. Upon the seven Gentile nations. Because the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites had filled. But at the same time, it was the mercy seat. If someone could minister you from where you are and bring you to that place, and you could come God's provided way, there was still mercy. There was still mercy at the mercy seat. You could still come and be ministered under the blood. And she realized that. The prophet says, all Israel came to that one place to find mercy, because God only met under the shed blood. Our friend, imagine living in a day that you're living in a walled city. Yeah? You're living in a great walled city full of all manner of pagan religions and so forth. And inside of yourself, you know, I'm not right with God. And you see the signs of the times and you feel that unease inside of yourself. You know things aren't right between you and God. And you don't even know how to make your things right. How can you know? Like an Ethiopian said to Philip, how can I understand unless somebody shows me, somebody teaches me? Someone needs to follow the Joshua Commission. Someone needs to be led by the angel of the Lord. Someone needs to come to the road going by the way of Gaza. And then needs to follow that prompting, draw nigh unto the chariot. And then you discern he's reading, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I understand unless somebody shows me? Yes. And Philip got up in the chariot and here was the mercy seat. Amen. This man could now find his way under the blood. Amen. There was no other way, friends. No other way. And like I'm saying, let's not put it on the other brother, the other sister. It's our commission. Amen. It's every one of our commission. Every single one of us. This is the most sacred thing. Amen. The most blessed commission that could be given. But it's a great responsibility. Thou must prophesy again. Hallelujah. Thou must prophesy again. The prophet says the Shekinah glory raised up from that mercy seat one day and settled on another tabernacle. Amen. Jesus. And Jesus says the Father judges no man, but has committed judgment to the Son. So the throne of mercy and judgment was now in a man, one man. The Son of Man Himself, Jesus. That's where was the supreme judge. Judgment had been committed to Him. And He says that, He says, the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Yes. He says, the first throne was in heaven, the judgment seat. The second was in Christ, the third throne is in man. And she discerned that straight away. She knew that this is my link to mercy. This is my link to grace in this late hour. And she was willing to respond. And friends, the moment she met that man, something moved inside of her. Because it moved inside of you and it moved inside of me. And it's moved inside of people when we're under the Joshua Commission. She started to sense a possibility. Hope started to rise up inside of her where there'd be no hope. Remember, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom, yeah? He had to go and open the door. These two young men had the keys to the kingdom. She recognized these young men have the keys. These young men can open the way and show me the way. I can enter into grace. I can enter into mercy. I can leave judgment behind me. I can enter into mercy. But the keys were committed to you and I. We have even just the simplicity of repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That key, just to repentance, like it's a powerful key. The denominations don't have that key. They're Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They don't know His name. They don't know how to come to the place that He's chosen to place His name there. Amen. It's in the midst of the Exodus people. And each and every one of us, we've been ministered those keys. And if you in the Spirit, you can go then, it's the right time, the right place, the right season. God uses you to open that door and somebody's ministered in under the blood. Amen. That's what happened to these young men. They were used in that kind of a way. She knew there was a God. She told them that. She wanted to know Him, but she didn't know how to know Him. There was a deep inside of her that wanted to respond to something, but she didn't know how to respond. You can't just worship God any way that you want. You've got to worship Him by faith, by revelation, His provided way. And these young men, they were God's grace to her. They were God's grace that was sent just in that season of time to her. And they came to her. And the moment she met with them, hope started to rise inside of her. She started to sense the possibility of what this could mean. She started to feel inside of herself, my life's never going to be the same. That's what it is, friends. You know what it's like when you got in the message of the hour. I remember the first day I heard the message. It was like an earthquake inside of my life. Amen. I couldn't sleep. I went to the brother downstairs in the hostel who testified to me. And I knocked on his door in the night. I said, hey, Clint, I can't sleep. I'm not right with God. You've shown me my baptism was false. You showed me my speaking in tongues wasn't the evidence of the Holy Ghost. All the things that I was trusting in for the rapture, you've gone and blasted them all. What am I supposed to do? And he did the best thing. He said, brother, let's go and pray. And he took me in the night up the hill behind the hostel and we went and we prayed. Then he put his arm around me and he prayed. And then he started to show me the way. And that Saturday we were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the door was open and life was never the same. All of a sudden, that mystery purpose that God had for you, sealed up for you, God starts unveiling that seal to you. And He releases an anointing inside of your life. And a certain channel opens up for you. And you just start walking in this great mystery that starts down for our friends. It's the most glorious thing. Let's not rob other people of what God did for us. Ah, but friends, we can't be selfish. Each and every one of us. We can get so caught up at work, we don't think of the next man. So caught up at college, we don't think of those other people that we're with. So caught up in our neighborhood, we don't even think of our neighbor. We don't think of those things. Would it not be good just to yield unto His anointing in this season and say, oh, our great Joshua, Jesus, Jehovah, Savior, lead me, Lord. Like I said, Brother Chwanzo in Zimbabwe, I remember that day he told me, he said, brother, I got up in the morning the other day, he said, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, lead me today to one of Your lost sheep. And he says, and I went to her about my business, and there came a certain lady into the office, and I testified to her. She's now a message believer, he said. Amen. He says, God led me to one of His bleating lambs. Ah, friends, what a desire that would be if you and I would have that and yield ourselves to that. She started to think, and she realized the enormity of how it worked to say, your God brought you to this strange city just for me. Is it not true?
Amen.
They came there just for her and her family. And when you piece back how God visited you, think of it. What God had to do to bring His revelation to you. Ah, friends, it's amazing. He might have had to move you to another place, move somebody else. The brother testified to me, was 25 years old. He was working in the bank in Port Elizabeth. He never wanted to go to university. I was in Zimbabwe. I never wanted to go to university. I went and got a job. Then my friend went to university, a Greek friend of mine. He came back at the holiday time. I was playing snooker with him. His name was Chris. And I said, hey, Chris, what's going on? He says, Andrew, why don't you come down? What are you doing? I said, no, I'm just working. He says, no, come down to university. It's great down there. I said, oh, that's okay. Which university? He says, I'm in Rhodes University. I said, which hostel are you in? He said, I'm in Cullen Bowles Hostel, right at the end of the university. I went home, spoke to my parents, filled in the forms, applied, got accepted, went to university the following year. That brother Clint, 25 years old, that year, 1984, the year when I was still making up my mind, he just felt moved to say, let me go to university. He was in Port Elizabeth. He resigns his job. Applies to go to university. Doesn't go to University of Port Elizabeth. He goes to Rhodes University. He goes to Cullen Bowles Hostel. I get there just as a heathen, pagan, idol worshipper. Worshipping football stars and worshipping alcohol, all those kind of things. In due season, God visits me, brings me in the Pentecostal church. We're having a prayer meeting that day. It was in my room. Somebody says, do you know that colored guy upstairs, Clint, he's a Christian? I said, oh, I didn't know. I said, go and invite him to come to the prayer meeting tomorrow. Go and I knock on his door, go and inside, there's a picture of the cloud. That was the first thing I saw. It attracted my attention. I said, hey, Clint, this is powerful. I need to speak to you about this. But anyhow, would you like to come to the prayer meeting? Next day, I get caught up a bit in my studies. I'm a little bit late for the prayer meeting. There's Brother Clint with the open book. He was had eaten, and now he was prophesying. And that prophecy, it ministered judgment on all we believed. But it ministered an entrance into the kingdom of God. That's what it was. And then he fails his exams a few months later. He goes back to his job in the bank. To me, it's so powerful.
Amen.
God can move people from one place just to come to you.
Amen.
He's still the God of Rahab. He's still the God that has inside of his heart the burden for his people. And friends, it's a good thing for us to follow it out. Let's finish off with this thought. She realizes now her life will never be the same. And friends, just that visitation there, when they ministered her under that token and said, you put that scarlet thread. Just that one visitation, she so grasped that visitation. She had been ordained unto it. She had been thirsting for it. She desired it. She was never the same. Never. Can you imagine that she went back to her old harlot friends? Never. Do you think she went back to those old places again that she used to hang out with and hang out to those men that she used to hang out with? The impact of that Joshua commission, the impact of that revelation through those two spies was so powerful. It transformed her. It set her on a path that started to unfold itself and didn't stop until she came to adoption when she brought forth Boaz from Salmon, her husband. She brought forth Boaz. It's a powerful thing. Think about it. God can lead you this week and your path will intersect with somebody's path and their life will absolutely change from that time. And they'll never ever be the same until they adopted in the kingdom of God. That's the power that's in you. That's the power that's in me. That's the commission that has been given unto us. That's what God has given into our hands. The resources that He's ministered. The investment that He's made. Oh, friends. Let's take this investment and lay it at His feet to our great rejected King and say, Lord, all that You've invested in me, Lord, use it for Your glory. May there be a return on Your investment. Avail yourself for His glory and to fulfill His purpose. Now the final thought, she came just in time. She came under the token just in time. Look in Joshua chapter 6 verse 1. If you can put it there, sister, it'll be our last scripture. Joshua 6 verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The doors were shut to the Gentiles. No Gentile could come out anymore. No Gentile could come in. Imagine how late that hour was, friends.
She comes under the token. Those two spies just come in. As soon as they're out, the doors are closed. No one can come in anymore. Think of where society had come to at that time. Those great walled cities. Why? Because of the children of Israel. They shut and barred the gates to keep it out. The only thing that could have brought salvation to them, the only thing that could have ministered redemption to them, they shut it out.
Hallelujah.
Is that not our age, friends?
Yes.
Is that not where we're getting to? It's exactly.
Amen.
They're shutting out the very thing which is the only thing that can bring them to redemption.
Amen.
Uncle, for you to say certain things now, they'll put you in prison.
Yes, sir.
Certain things from the scripture, to cry out against certain immorality, to cry out against certain lifestyles of people. It's against the law. You're barred from saying those things. Friends, we're living in the last days of the Gentiles. We're living in the days of Rahab once again. Oh, but we're living in the days of Joshua. Our great Joshua. Aren't you glad that you've got a Joshua commission? Aren't you glad Joshua visited you? He might have visited you in two little spies. Two people that you didn't even know the name. But our friends, that Joshua commission, it was all that was required to do the job. That system was trusting in those walls. Those walls might have defended them in generations gone by, friends. But those walls weren't going to stand up to what was coming in that age. And these people that are trusting in their walls now, and their denominational systems, and their science, and their knowledge, friends, it's a sad thing. But one of these days, they're going to find that there's a God who's so much greater than these things. That when He starts to shake, and everything's going to be shaken.
Hallelujah.
But when He shook, imagine the simplicity of the story. Imagine she's just received these spies. She takes the scarlet thread. She's just obedient. Ties it in her window. And when judgment came, imagine the doors were shut, yeah? It was now souls that were in prison. No one could go out. No one could come in, but she was under the token. And during the time now of souls in prison, she saw the third pole. God shook that place. But God respected the words, the spoken word of those two spies. They said, just tie this in the window. You'll be delivered. Oh, friends. And God in heaven, who dwells above the mercy seat, He respected that word. And when the Jericho shook, so those walls fell flat, so that those soldiers could run straight up. There was Rahab's house. Standing strong. Standing firm. And she had ministered her mother, and she had ministered her father, and got as many of her relatives in. That song, it's an urgent cry. Apply the token or die. Friends, that's the time that you're living in. So we go back in time and we see from Revelation 7, we see something's been held back. There's an interlude of grace. There's a purpose for this. Revelations 8 and 9, the trumpet sound, the first woe, second woe, to bring Israel back into their homeland. Strife and all the things under Hitler and Mussolini. And they're waiting now. There's an expectation, anticipation amongst those the Jews. They're waiting for their Messiah. What's holding him back from going to them? Is this interlude of grace? Is this interlude of grace because Rahab has to come in? Every last Rahab has to come in. And friends, I know there's more Rahabs here. There's got to be Rahabs. And sometimes when you minister to a Rahab, the whole family comes in at the same time. What a wonderful thing that it is when it works like that. Oh, friends, let's be about the Father's business, yeah? Let's finish with this quote from Laodicean Church, it's 365. The prophet says, but thank God, at this moment, this age is not over. He is yet crying. And His cry is not only in the spiritual ears of men by His Spirit, but once again a prophet is in the land. Once more, God will reveal the truth as He did to Paul. In the days of the seventh messenger, in the days of the Laodicean age, its messenger will reveal the mysteries of God as revealed to Paul. He will speak out. And those who receive that prophet in His own name will receive the beneficent effect of the prophet's ministry. And they that hear Him will be blessed and become part of the bride of the last days, are mentioned in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
the corn of wheat, the bride wheat, that fell into the ground at Nicaea, has come back to original word grain again. Praise God forever. Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What he says from God, the bride will say. That's why we don't want people coming out to tell us that we have to move past Brother Branham, we've got our own things. That's nonsense. We don't believe those things. We say what the message says. We just say what Elijah already has said. That's our commission, friends. Eat the book. We never were there when the book was opened. It was revealed and given down to the seventh angel. And he came and ministered what was in that open book. Where are we getting these opinions and thoughts from? It's the vanity of man, friends. It's the foolishness and folly of fallen man that we think we know better. The prophet says that, back to the original word, he says, what he says from God, the bride will say. The spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. Friends. When we fellowship with one another, did the spirit say it? Did the prophet say it? Then let's say it. Amen. But if the Spirit didn't say it, if the prophet didn't say it, well, let's not say those things. Amen. No matter how appealing it may be, no matter how fine it may seem to say it, the Spirit and the prophet and the bride will say the same thing. And what they will say will already have been said in the Word. Amen. That's the absolute, friend. Amen. The prophet never came and taught us something that wasn't Scripture.
Amen.
Never. Because Paul said, if an angel comes and teaches something, let him be cursed. Never. Amen. Somebody came to the prophet and says, okay, we'll believe in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if you say it was the angel of the Lord who told you that. The prophet says, it doesn't matter what an angel tells me. He says, if it's in the Word, it's in the Word. We don't need an angel to tell us.
Amen.
He says, because if that angel told me something false, Paul said, let him be cursed.
Amen.
Friends, the prophet, he stood upon the Word.
Amen.
He was a Word prophet and we are Word bride. That's who we are. What they will say will already have been said in the Word. They are saying it now. And what are they saying? Come out from among her now and be ye separate. The cry has gone out. The cry is going out. How long will the voice cry? We do not know. But one thing we do know, it won't be long. Because this is the last age. Amen. Let's stand, friends. Let's come to worship. Let's get back in the line of the commission. Let's fulfill His purpose.
Hallelujah.
We say, Father, glorify Thy name. As You glorified it, what You've done it once before in the life of Malachi 4. So, Father, glorify Your name again. Let's sing that song.
Coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow trumps gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh day. We have seen the Lord in the fulfillment of His word. Promise from this prophet to return. The bride is straight again. To his name. To teach the bride to prophesy again. Oh, coming from the east. Coming from the west. Coming from the north and from the south. Rainbow drum gathered by a shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh day. We're on Mount Zion in the secret place by the sovereign grace of our Lord. A city on a hill whose glory can be manifest that great and final pool. Hallelujah. Coming from the east. Oh, coming from the west.
coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow child, gathered by a shout, for adoption on the summit of the seven peaks. A rainbow covenanted one, in a Joshua commission, testifies she has turned at the waist with the authority for her ministry, and she shall speak on the summit of the seventh peak. Oh, hallelujah, coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow trouts gathered by a shout for adoption on the summit of the seven peaks. We sing a brand new song. We are the blood washed strong. We've seen our names beneath that seven seal. We have to us all the mysteries. There is light on the summit of the seventh peak. Hallelujah, coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow trouts gathered by a shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. All things are ready now. Father, let the fire fall. Father, glorify thy name. You did it once before in the life of Malachi 4. Now, Father, glorify thy name again. Hallelujah. Coming from the east. Oh, coming from the west. Coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow trout gathered by a shout, adoption on the summit of the seven peaks.
Friends, when I come to time of prayer, let's sing one more song. Set your heart right. If you're seeking salvation, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. No one else can call upon him for you. You've got to call upon him yourself. You've got to say, Master, I perish. You've got to say, have mercy upon me. You've got to cry out yourself. And he'll respond to your cry if it's a genuine cry. Whatever else, if you're thinking of somebody, let the Lord lay somebody upon your heart as we sing the next song. And as we enter into his presence, enter into prayer, let him speak from the mercy seat. Speak to him that dwells between the wings of the cherubim. Amen. On behalf of that person.
Amen.
And they don't leave it there. When you go from this place, follow up. Follow his leadership in the way that he'll lead you. And come back with the sheaves next to him. He who goes forth weeping shall come forth rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Bearing precious sheaves with him.
Amen.
Let's seek the grace of God. Let's sing one more song. We come to time.
Come in. Come on. The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this fall. You will never thirst again. Oh, the spirit and the bride say come. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Never fear. Come and drink of this wrong. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the bride say come.
Come out.
Come out. Come in. Come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this cup, you will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out of my people, be not partakers of the sins. The sins have reached heaven, God's is a iniquity. Ooh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come out. Come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this water, you will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Let's enter into prayer, saints. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, oh Father. We just want to come.
Sister Lydia, we're not here. And Jake follows Sister Lydia, Lord. Give her, Lord, the healing that she would desire. Even at this time, our Lord, Jimmy God. Father, we are grateful, Father, for your mercy, Lord. Grateful for your grace that is ever shining, Lord. Father, raise, Lord, lift us, Lord, Savior, closer to thee, Lord. Let me be able by your grace, O God, Lord, to live, Lord, Savior. Father, O God, Lord, Savior, throughout, Lord, the days of our life, Lord. Father, giving to thee, Lord, even as thou hast called us, O God. Lord, Father, we grateful unto thee, Lord, for the mercy and grace. Father, you be glorified, you be lifted, Lord, even above all. Bless, Lord, Savior, your servant, Lord. Bless your virtue, Lord, Savior. Bless us, even as we part. Grant us grace, and when we meet here again, we come with great expectation to hear you.
Heart is the shepherd's voice I hear, calling the full God again, calling the sheep the corner straight, far from the shepherd. Bring them in from the fields. Lord, say, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
Since it's a good thing that our brother and our sister have a desire for their grandchild. Now Paul said about Timothy, he said, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, I think her name was, yeah? There's something about that. Your God allows that faith to pass from generation to generation. Let it be so. So even as we dedicate the little baby, let's remember the parents as well. Let's dedicate them to the Lord to say, Lord, bring them in as well. That they may come in this dark hour to raise this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Because what a sad thing to dedicate this baby to the Lord and then it's a house full of cigarette smoke, it's a house full of alcohol, a house full of watching things that are wrong. It's a sad thing to think about. That if the Lord could really reach out to the parents as well, to really bring them in, that's what He desires. Let's just sing the chorus once for Brother Joe.
Bring them in. Wants to Jesus.
Zela. What surname does Brother Brown. Brown? Yeah, good. Okay. Zela Brown. Brother Tony said he calls her Ruth. May she be a Ruth. That's what we desire. But we'll dedicate her Zela, that may her true name catch up with her along the way. That would be our desire. Heavenly Father, we bring this real pretty little girl up unto you. Jesus, so trusting that she is, Lord, in a world, Father, that's not worthy of trust many times. So, Father, we want to bring it into your hands. We want to ask of you, Father, that you would watch over this little child, that you would bless her, that you would protect her and keep her. Father, she's been given the name Zela. Lord, it speaks of the end time. Father, all of these names that we have now, you know what it means. But, Father, we know that you go beyond names. We just pray that her real name, the real purpose that, Father, Lord, you've allowed her to come into this earth for, Father, bring her to that purpose, we pray. May you protect her until then. I pray especially, Lord, for her father. I pray for him. He's been baptized in your name, Amen. Lord, but Father, he's away from you at this time. We just pray and ask of thee, let the seeking shepherd go even now. Father, go and speak unto his soul. Speak in his circumstances, Lord. Reveal yourself to him, Jesus. You're the only one that can speak the voice that he needs to hear. So, Father, we pray your grace upon Delaney. We pray upon the mother of the child. We pray, Lord, that even this little child may be some way, a way to bring her unto thee. Father, have mercy upon her, we pray. Protect this little child, we pray. Deliver her from evil spirits, Lord.
Hallelujah.
These viruses, Lord, that go around, Lord. The evil intent of man. Father, the system that we're under that would like to teach her godless things. We pray that your grace would keep her and lead her and guide if there'd be a tomorrow, that she would serve and worship you. Bless the grandparents, Lord, for what they've done, the design, the burden that they have. Give them wisdom, grant them grace. Continue to use them for your glory. Father, we bring Zela to you. We give it into your hands, Jesus, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. God bless you, Bruce. God bless you, sister. Amen. God bless you, brother. Just before we sing one more song, as we come to a close, just to say we had our meeting on Wednesday night, and I'll speak more about it next weekend about the things that we discussed. We'd like to have elections next Sunday for deacons and trustees. It's time for us to have elections once again, so let's be in prayer about that. We present them and just speak a little bit about that as well, and about the various things that we spoke about. Some very virtuous things came from the officers' meeting, and I really do believe it will help us as we implement these things. So I'd really thought maybe to speak about those things next week by the grace of God as we come to the elections. So let's be in prayer. Let's look above our circumstances. Let's look above our little this, that, and the other. And let's look at the big picture. Let's look at Christ. Let's look at him who stood in the breach or hung in the breach between heaven and earth for us. Let's look at him who's come down in the breach in this age to minister grace unto us. And let's say, Father, use me for your glory. Let your will be done. Just asking for Sunday school children to meet upstairs for a few minutes right after service, please, as well. Let's sing and worship the Lord. We ask Father Lubanze to be kind enough to close for us then in a word of prayer. Amen.
There is a land of milk and honey. There is a where we don't need money. There is a land shining with jasper. There we shall see our blessed Messiah. Oh, and that's the reason we shout hallelujah, praising our King across the river, that shining river where the saints will gather. There we shall see our blessed Messiah. Elijah has come. He has done his work already, a night has made ready, and now we are waiting for the coming of Jesus. Here is that day when the Lamb shall take us. Oh, and that's the reason we shout hallelujah, praising our King across the river, a shining river with the saints. Oh, there we shall see our blessed Messiah. Hopes are bright, our lamps are burning, and day by day our hearts are yearning. Since the evening he will come in the morning, then we shall see until the dawning. Oh, and that's the reason we shout hallelujah, praising our King across the river, a shining river with the saints gathered. Shall see our blessed Messiah.
Sing that one again. He's coming soon. Yeah? He's coming soon.
In these, the closing day of time, the closing day of time, what joy the glorious hope affords. But so wondrous truths are sublime. He shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, he's coming, he's coming soon, he's coming very soon. With joy we welcome his return. God's faithful witnesses declare. Oh, they declare that the coming of our Savior drawing. He's coming soon, he's coming soon, he's coming. Come, he's returned. It may be born, it may be. Oh, I know it's coming soon. The dead in Christ who never us lie in countless numbers. Oh, they shall rise
when through the portals of the
sky he shall come to prepare
le kota shamita vetulo we shamita lo if we cherish not it we cherish not in vain but we comfort one another. My is only word is coming, is coming, is coming. Soon is coming. Oh, we joy, we welcome his return. It may be born, it may be.
Notre Dieu, nous te sommes reconnaissants pour ce puissant message que tu viens de nous donner ce matin. Seigneur notre Dieu,
Heavenly Father,
ton prophète dit
your prophet says,
que l'esprit de l'homme est toujours négligent et oublie facilement.
The man's spirit is always careless and forgetful.
C'est pourquoi, Père, oh Dieu, le Saint-Esprit ce matin est venu nous secouer encore une fois.
That's why the Holy Ghost this morning has come to shake us again.
Nous réveiller, Seigneur, nous montrer que nous sommes dans ce monde pour un but précis.
Show us that we are in this world for a precise goal.
Ce n'est pas, Seigneur, oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, pour vivre comme le monde vit.
It's not to live as the world lives.
Mais nous avons une commission, Seigneur.
Commission,
c'est de prophétiser.
Is to prophesy.
Et que Père Céleste, pour prophétiser, Seigneur,
and to prophesy, Lord,
nous devons d'abord manger ce livre.
We need to eat the leaf,
oh Dieu Tout-Puissant,
nous te sommes
reconnaissants, Seigneur, pour ces choses.
We are thankful for these things.
Merci, Seigneur, pour nous avoir révélé cela, Père, encore une fois, au travers de ce message.
To us through this message.
Nous savons une chose, Seigneur, notre
we
Dieu,
know one thing, Lord,
que si, Seigneur, Père bien-aimé, tu ne nous as pas aimé, Père,
if you didn't love us, Lord,
Seigneur, tu n'allais pas nous envoyer ce prophète puissant.
You couldn't send us this prophet powerful.
Mais ton amour a été, Seigneur, parfait, Seigneur.
But your love has been so
perfect. Après avoir, Seigneur, donné ton fils à la croix,
that after giving your son at the cross,
tu nous as envoyé un puissant message.
You sent us a powerful message.
Comme le prophète l'a montré, Seigneur.
As the prophet showed
et
us,
le pasteur l'a montré encore ce matin.
And the pastor showed us this morning.
Ce monde devait s'arrêter depuis la Première Guerre mondiale.
This world should have come to an end
c'est
since the First World War.
Tu avais donné à cette humanité, Seigneur.
That's the time you gave to this humanity.
Seigneur, mais dans ta grâce,
but in your grace,
tu as vu qu'il y avait encore des gens,
you saw that there were
qui
still
n'avaient
people
pas encore le Saint-Esprit,
that didn't have the Holy Ghost
alors
yet.
Tu as arrêté, Seigneur, la destruction,
you stopped the destruction,
juste pour nous, Seigneur, notre
just
Dieu.
For us, oh Lord.
Oh Père Céleste,
oh Heavenly Father,
tu devais faire entrer un groupe de gentils,
you had to bring in a group of Gentiles,
et un groupe de gens d'Israël, Seigneur.
A group of Israel people.
Et parmi ces gentils,
and among these people,
voilà, Seigneur, notre Dieu.
Here we are, oh Lord.
Parce que ton prophète dit,
because your prophet
juste
says,
après cela,
just be after this,
il a commencé à prêcher le Saint-Esprit.
After that, he started preaching the
pourquoi
Holy Ghost.
Le Saint-Esprit a été donné?
Why the Holy Ghost was given?
Oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, qu'est-ce que le Saint-Esprit?
What is the Holy Ghost?
Parce que, Seigneur, la commission qui avait été donnée, Seigneur,
because the commission that was
c'était
given,
d'arrêter la destruction,
was to stop the
jusqu'à ce que tous les serviteurs de Dieu
until all God's
soient marqués du sceau du Dieu
will
vivant.
Be marked by the seal of the believing
et
God.
Le sceau du Dieu vivant
and the seal of the living
c'est
God
le Saint-Esprit.
Is the Holy Ghost.
Si le monde n'a pas été détruit,
if the world was
c'est
not
parce
destroyed,
que tu voulais que chacun de nous
it was because you wanted
soit
that
any,
every one of us be sealed by
Seigneur
the Holy Ghost.
Notre Dieu.
Heavenly Father,
et voilà aujourd'hui, Père,
today,
tu viens nous rappeler cela, Seigneur Jésus.
You remind this to us
et
again.
Seigneur, quand nous recevons le Saint-Esprit,
that when we receive the Holy Ghost,
nous devons être capables, Seigneur notre Dieu,
we must be able
de prophétiser aussi, Seigneur,
to prophesy again,
d'amener, Seigneur, le même Saint-Esprit
to bring the same
à ceux
Holy
qui
Ghost
sont perdus, Seigneur,
to those who are lost.
C'est pourquoi le signe, Seigneur,
that's why the
a été prêché à Rahab, Seigneur notre Dieu.
I was preached to Rahab.
Il a été demandé d'appliquer le signe.
It was asked to her
et
to apply the token.
Le signe, c'est le Saint-Esprit.
And the token
c'est
is the Holy Ghost.
Jésus-Christ.
It's the life
c'est
of Jesus Christ.
C'est la vie littérale de
it's
Dieu.
The
the literal life of Jesus Christ that was manifested and preached through this message of the end time. And when we eat the book, Lord, we eat the person of Jesus Christ. We become Jesus Christ. We become the Holy Ghost. We express the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, we are lost, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father. The angel came this time. It's only it's God Himself. It's Christ Himself. Let His mighty angel who came down to impersonate Himself in the bride, oh God. That's why we want to thank you this morning for this message, to remind us that our commission is to eat the book first, to become the word, to become this message, become the seed, become the thunders, so that we be able to preach, to prophesy. As the prophet said, to prophesy today is to preach, is to demonstrate in our lives the power of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, let our lives be in accordance with what we have heard. When you'll come again on the earth to take your bride, you'll take your life. You'll come to take your life, your Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, we'll stay.
Oh, Dieu Tout-Puissant.
Oh, Lord.
Merci pour ton serviteur.
We thank you for your servant,
notre pasteur Andrew,
our pastor Andrew, that you have used mightily. We want to that you use him more, that you give him more revelations, bless his ministry. Every time he'll stand at this pulpit, let him be a great blessing. Bless his wife. Bless his family. Bless everything that he does for you. Bless all your children that has come to listen to your word. Those who have accepted this word, bless them. They have spoken to you. Everyone has spoken to you from his heart. He has shown your request.
Every Father,
let everyone receive according to his request in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who are sick, we declare them healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who have problems, we declare them obtain the solution in the name of Jesus Christ.
Ceux qui sont affligés, Seigneur, qui soient consolés, Père.
Console those who are afflicted.
Merci, Seigneur Jésus.
Thank
nous
you, Lord.
Nous confions entre tes mains, Père.
We alors que nous allons commit into your hands as we are leaving this place.
Protège-nous, Seigneur, sur la route.
Protect us on our way. Keep us.
Et ramène-nous encore nous ici mercredi,
bring
Seigneur
us
Jésus,
back here on Wednesday again to listen to your word.
Sois béni à jamais.
Be blessed forever.
Dans le nom puissant de Jésus
in the name of Jesus
notre
Christ,
notre Dieu, nous avons
our Savior and our God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's close with that song, Ancient Words. Amen. Oh, the ancient words. Amen. God bless you as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
All preserved for our home in this world. With our living heart, oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us them, help us go. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart holy words of our faith, given to the saved, given to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. Hear us out with God's own heart, oh, let